December 3rd, 2022, it's a lot for Pedro show.
Well, and then if you have time during your staying here in Japan, do you particularly like to go visit or see something in Japan?
Well, if we have time, I like to see some of the temples, and I like to hear some Japanese music.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the classical. What is this instrument? The kaori or the
koto?
Koto. I like to hear some of this, and I like to maybe go to some rural areas to see some of the traditional.
You mentioned one thing, that koto.
Koto, yeah.
Mm. Roland Clark stopped in Japan and bought the Nagoya Chalmera, is that correct?
Nagoya, maybe
Nagoya, Nagoya Chalmera, that sort of flute, is that correct? Flute?
No, like oboe.
Oboe.
Like yeah, he bought one. Yeah, I want to go to the music store and see what I can find, you know.
I see. This is, the advertisement dropping at the TV.
Yeah, I want
to. Well, anyhow. Well,
those are things I like to do.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's something to... Oh, yes, I just forgot about the Japanese fans. Can you hold some comment to Japanese modern fans through this microphone? Say hello.
Well, hello, and thank you, and we're glad to be here, and we hope to see you and play for you.
Well, thank you very, very much for a great interview with
you,
Mr. John Colton.
Thank you.
Well, for Pedro Show, happy Saturday. Start off the show with Kazuaki Sugimoto asking John Coltrane in Tokyo in 1966 about what he would like to do with any free time he might have on the then current Japan tour. And then we had Chavez with Unreal's Here. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their incredible Skype invention, I got with me all the way from Manhattan, not the Kansas one, but the New York one, Brother Matt Sweeney. Welcome aboard, Brother Matt.
What an honor to be here, man. Thanks.
Absolute. And we got to thank Brother Stevie Bono for the connect, right?
Hell yeah. Thanks, Stevie.
Okay. Now, Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Probably seeing the Monkees on TV, decided that that was it.
Monkees, the Don Kirshner.
The TV show, was he the producer for the Monkees?
I think he put the band together.
Did he? That's interesting.
I wouldn't shit you. They used to film the Don Kirshner rock concerts across the channel here at the Long Beach Auditorium. By the way, that's where I saw my first gig. It was me and D. Boone saw T-Rex when we were 14.
I can't believe you got to see that gig. What was he touring? What record?
Slider.
Oh.
Yeah. Ringo, picture, and then Aaron. Tony Visconti. Great snare drum sound. Anyway, getting back to your story, your first memory is...
I have a question for you. Did you get to attend any of those Don Kirshner's rock concerts?
Yeah, that's how I know that they filmed them there. Yeah, they let people come in for free. It was actually the other side of the stage. Like, there was a smaller room behind. They tore this pad down. It's the Long Beach Opera House now. But, yeah, they were there, and I saw several. I saw, in fact, T-Rex, Mark Bolan, the star wouldn't come up. He had a bullwhip and shit. But the gig was really intense.
I bet.
Because... But it still was arena rock, so a tiny, tiny man and weird sound, especially for bass. But let's get to your story. Your earliest musical recollection.
Monkees and probably my dad playing bagpipes or something like that. That's all. You know, so Monkees for me.
Pop's a musician.
Oh, hell yeah. My mom too. But neither professional, but both of them much better than me.
Yeah, but the point is, the pad you grew up in had musical instruments?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. There was a guitar lying around, but, like, my dad was born in 1930. You know, my mom was born in 43. They were not interested in rock music at all. They weren't against it. They just weren't interested in it. So
that's all right with me, because music's music. I hate that genre bullshit.
Totally. Yeah. No, for sure. But I would say that there was a bit of a difference. Just, you know, my dad was a bit older.
Of course.
Did
you ever hear him play that guitar?
No, he didn't play. He played piccolo, he played bagpipes, he played tuba, he played
flute. He was a wind man.
Yeah, man. And he liked heavy metal, like he liked tuba. He really got into tuba later on.
Bass clef,
but then piccolo too. He was into things that were intense, you know, like shrill or low.
And what'd your mom play?
She sings.
That's an instrument.
Yeah, and she was the director of her high school choir, which is actually kind of a thing. She went to a high school called Marymount in New York City, which had a good...
Marymounts are usually Ignatius Loyola Marymount, creator of the Jesuits.
My father, Mike, was a Jesuit.
Ah, okay. Jesus, yeah. No.
He split. He obviously split in order to procreate. But he split in 57 during the
That's when I was born, Sputnik.
Well, that was also Vatican II. That was the great Catholic exodus.
Also, John Coltrane quit heroin.
There you go. A lot of good shit happened.
So let me ask you. The instruments laying around, you didn't jump on any of those.
I did, actually. The guitar, okay. the guitar looked sexy to me, but I didn't jump on it. I would look at it, I'd take it out, I'd sort of pretend to play it and stuff like that. And I can still remember, actually I have a very vivid memory, actually talking to you right now, what it feels like to look at a guitar and not know what the fuck to do with it. You know what I mean?
Was it acoustic?
Yeah, it was like a nylon string. I think it was my mom's, you know, but she didn't play, my dad didn't play, so it was around for me to open up the case and look at it, and then it didn't really look like the Monkees guitars either. So
it was in a case, so it wasn't just sitting there.
No. I would take it out, or I'd open up the case. I don't know if I would even take it out the case. And then, when I was 8 years old, my dad was like, "Well, you got to play an instrument in the school band," so I did clarinet.
This is what I'm going to ask you: were you in the marching band or the choir?
I wasn't. The Monkees thing was fucking deep. All I wanted to do was rock, but I also had really.
You know what? It ain't the clarinet, but fucking Andy McKay used to rock the oboe in Roxy Music.
Hell yeah, he did. I love his shit on Virginia.
It ain't the licorice stick, but still, anybody, you know, Out of the Blue, I think it is. There's a fucking tour that John Wetton did with him, right?
But he's also wailing on Virginia Plain.
That's right. Well, sometimes he'd be wearing the sax and rocking the oboe so he could switch off. Yeah.
Maximum harvest.
So let's get back to your story. First record you bought with your own money?
That is, God damn it, I was just wondering what the hell record that was.
Because you know you ain't got a lot of money when you're a kid. So.
I know. And so there was a lot of begging my mom, you know, my mom or my dad. And they were cool. They liked that I liked music. So the first thing that comes to mind is me asking my mom to buy me a Kiss Love Gun and her going,
yeah, no. But that ain't your own money.
I know. It had to be.
We saw Kiss 3 times before the first record came out. They would open for anybody over here. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, fucking Savoy Brown, Wishbone Ash.
Kiss.
Yeah. And the sign was only light bulbs. Okay.
I love that.
So you can't remember. Okay, so remember, it's a lot from Pedro's show. There's no hard questions, and there's no wrong answers.
But memories are weird, so because it really...
I chase them down. I don't let Alzheimer win by default.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it could have been like a Rush record, maybe Exit Stage Left. In fact, my brother said, but again, I don't know if that was a Christmas present, so I really want to get, I want to hone in. It was freshman year. I'm going to a Catholic boys school. There's a record store called, of course, Vintage Vinyl down the street.
Yeah.
They specialize in metal. There's also... You know, I think it'll come to me, whatever the hell record I'll
Okay, get, first but, gig but, you went and saw, Matt.
First gig I went and saw was ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra, okay.
Yes, sir.
And then, I like their version of that Chuck Berry song.
Which one did they do?
Wrote all over Beethoven.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I remember that. Actually, I remember that as a little kid.
I didn't like the rest of shit. He was in the Move, though, right?
Fuck yeah, he was.
Yeah, and I like that. Yeah, the other guy, the boss was trippy. What was his name? Mr. Wood?
Roy Wood.
So let me ask you this. You said something about your pop and the clarinet.
Well, no, my dad told me that I had to play the clarinet.
Yeah.
More or less. He was like, you got to play in the school band, you know?
Okay, so what happened because of that?
So I go, yeah, I'll do that. And then I sort of developed my ear because reading music was hard, but copying music was easy. So I was kind of, clarinet was a bit of a chore to please my dad, you know.
Look, I can relate because I took it for 10 weeks in the 7th grade. And Mr. Luna, the music teacher, said, "What? You try hard, but stop wasting my time, your time." And they looked at the class, our time. I never took another music class again.
That's totally, so he Mr. Handed you. That's like Mr. Hand in Fast Times, the teacher who says this.
He backhanded me in the next week. That's no, if it wasn't for D. Boone, I wouldn't have got, you know.
But, that's incredible.
Yeah, I was destroyed. So, but how did your clarinet, your licorice stick adventure end up?
It was fine. You know, I was able to bullshit through it again just to please my dad. I bullshitted my way through it. All the way through fucking senior year of high school, I would take private lessons to please my dad.
Who was your teacher? Do you remember your teacher?
Yeah, Herb Steyer, who was a friend of my dad's, who was a fucking total genius.
You know, clarinet dudes used to be band leaders, right? Yeah, Artie Shaw.
He was the band leader. He worked for NYU. He actually wrote a march called West 4th, I remember, which is the street that NYU's on.
Oh, West 4th. Yeah, I know where
that is. Herb Steyer's West 4th.
You sent me this thing called Viagra Boys. I want to play that.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting time. through the parking lot. I see cars lined up like army cars. In my mind, you're on the Chelsea block. Where do you picture me? Cut a sharp path to happiness. And we know how to sweep the peaks just right. Perceptions are so powerful. You smell
disguise, you imposter, at his numberless address, and celestial protectors that you fly to, all carry-ons are locked inside. Guns on the table, your non-psychoactive plea to terrestrial investors that you cling to.
Wofford Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with the Agra Boys with Blue Bone.
Yes.
But Matt enlightened us later to that. But next was the Hellbeans, brand new out of Brighton, England. Spots / Cornflake Man at the Helm.
Hell yeah, Spot.
Brand new out of Australia from Tropical Fuckstorm. This is called Golden Ratio.
Great fucking band.
And and the label too, Joyful Noise out of Indiana.
Really cool label. Really cool label.
Good people. Yeah. Here's DNA, great band. Ardo Lindsay and Ikoi Mare. This was the version with Tim Wright on bass. I got to see him at Hong Kong Cafe. This is live at CBGB, June 25, 1982, maybe towards the end there. And them doing a cover, A Whole Lot of Love.
Oh, shit.
Which was stolen by, we don't have to discuss that. Then Model Home featuring Fuson, P-H-E-W. Naked Intentions. Adam Trumbo with Outcome the Boxing Gloves. XV with Why Don't You Go Away. You Don't Turn Me On by The Fall. This is them playing live May 23rd, 1977 in Manchester.
Ooh.
I got to see them here. They played with Blurt and Divine Horseman, downtown L.A., and the singer just stared at the kick drum the whole time. Now, the bass man now has a radio show in England on Radio 6.
One of the great bass
Mark Riley, bands. Yeah, great cat, Mark Riley.
Yeah, so cool.
Guided by voices, Robert Pollard, yet again. Dayton delivers, right? Every other month, you've got a new album from this cat. Eyes of Your Doctor, then Out of Texas, How I Quit Crack with Fear Evasion. And finally, something you sent me, Matt. Red Dead Redemption 2, A Strange Kindness.
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
So, but let's get back to the journey, Matt Sweeney.
He's
on the fucking liquor stick. So you get to senior in high school. Because I was going to ask you about after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon when you get done. Do you do the basement man, the garage band, the bedroom band? Do you do it with the clarinet?
Hell no, man. So the clarinet is this thing to please my dad. But then when I turn 12, my dad says, I know that you want to get an electric guitar, so I bought you a bass. So he bought me a red PVT 40 bass, surprised me with it. And he said, you know, your brother and I did some asking around. My brother was really remains like he's this incredible musician, Greg.
So he was already playing.
Yes, he was already it had been established that he was good at drums, you know, like since he was like 8 or 9. And, my dad said, I've been talking to your brother and we've decided that there's too many guitar players. A bass is a better idea. So there I was and I had a red PVT 40 and I was like, all right, cool.
What about amplifier?
PV powered, it was like a cube sized thing. Damn it, I probably would.
Mississippi Marshall, have you been Meridian?
Hell yeah.
It's in north, east of Mississippi. I
Meridian. It's a Meridian. Yeah. I've been to the original PV store.
Wow. I've driven through the town, but I haven't stopped at the store. Okay.
Stop. It's amazing. It's got, you know, like, I don't know if it's even there, but it was really on its last legs.
Do you and your brother make like a bass drum rhythm section?
You know, we are just started doing that now, and one of the most fucked up things is that we never did it sooner. You would think would be the thing.
He had the drums set up at your pad, right?
Tell me about it. The deal was 7th grade, all of a sudden I got this red bass, you know?
Yeah.
And my friends, my best friends are starting to play music, and so a band kind of comes together really quickly. With my friend Richie Schneider playing drums, Greg Colasanti playing guitar, and this really rad guitar player named Bruce Boyko. Oh, and Greg Colasanti sang as well. This kid named Bruce Boyko, who was the smartest kid in our school, the biggest juvenile delinquent in our school. When our band played, we did like Rush covers and Zeppelin covers. We played at the talent show. We got the plug pulled on us, and Bruce took a swing, holding his Les Paul in one hand, took a swing at the vice principal with the other on stage. Wow. So Bruce Boyko was the coolest motherfucker.
What's the name of this band?
We were called Syrinx after the Rush song.
Temples of Syrinx. Are the priests at the temple.
Yes, all that
the
shit.
The drummer wrote the words, right?
He sure did.
And the second drummer, I think.
That's right. And he had, I find there is a charm and a sweetness to Rush that I will never stop loving because, people have a lot of opinions about them. But
oh, yeah.
Even their horrible politics back then it's the politics of a sweet, teenage Canadian trying to figure out what to make of his life.
I fell asleep at the gig with the guy in front of the star. It's like opera.
2012.
Yeah.
And then
I took another friend to see him 30 years later, and I fell asleep at that gig too. I got bookended. But if you're playing a trio, everybody thinks you're in the Rush. So that gig, even though it was kind of a defeat, it was kind of a victory because of the bravery of your singer.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I really wish that I could hear what we did because again, I'd never played an instrument before, and all of a sudden I'm fucking playing Living Loving Maid. I'm playing,
There's a lot of notes in the Geddy Lee bass. How'd you learn that? Did you ever take bass lessons? You did clarinet lessons?
So part of the deal was that there's this guy in my hometown of South Orange, New Jersey, who gave guitar lessons, and his name, I'm going to decide whether I say his name or not, because I'll tell you a story. It's nothing terrible, but, so he's the guy in town. He's got a cool sounding name, and everybody seems to take guitar lessons from him. And his deal is he will teach you whatever rock song you want to learn. Great. So I go there, and he's a nice guy, and he's a big Catholic. He kind of has a little bit of an agenda, sort of talking a little bit about religion and stuff like that. But sure enough, he's good on, you can bring him a Rush record, and he sort of slopes, kind of show you how to play it or whatever. And so I can't remember. I was playing guitar and bass. I think I'd take some bass lessons, but he was like, let's just move you over to guitar. So start taking guitar lessons.
Where did you get the guitar?
He had a bunch in his
basement. It's his. Okay.
Yeah. So I would just play on the guitars there, and I took to it really quick. I don't know why. For some reason, I was able to be able to play a fucking
littler strings.
Yeah. Exactly. Little. Yeah. It's wimpier. So I loved it. But it was funny. So one of the last. A big memory is I come in and Buzz is out of sorts. His name is Buzz. That was his first name. And he,
good Catholic he said, name.
He says, Matt, I always tell kids that I'll teach them whatever song that they want to learn. But a kid brought in some music that was just, it wasn't music and it was evil and it was bad. And I had to ask the kid to stop taking lessons from me. Whoa. So, right. And I was like, what was the song? He goes, I don't even want to talk about it. It had some business like death, and death was in the title. Blah, blah, blah. So a couple of years later, I get a phone call from a kid that I kind of knew from around, who was kind of the coolest kid in my hometown. And he says, hey, I'm friends with Greg Ginn. I want to start a band. I was like, I want to try to make a record for SST. I was like, okay, cool. So then this kid tells me, I actually called you before because we had the same guitar teacher and he tried to put us together in a band, but then I brought in Black Angel's Death Song to learn.
Lou Reed, the Velvet Underground.
Yes, and my friend Matt Quigley brought this song in.
Sounds a lot like Bobby Dylan. I remember John Cale, he had to talk Lou out of going that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could hear that. You could hear that in those recordings. Have you heard that?
Remember, they had a third guy, that Angus guy. They were kind of avant-garde at first, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Kale's whole thing was he loved the tension between an avant-garde thing and a narrative songwritery thing. And, they really they picked up right where they left off with Songs for Drella. I don't know if you saw that, but there's a performance movie of Kale and Lou Reed doing Songs for Drella, and Kale's whole thing was I didn't want them to be a rock band. I wanted them to, to keep on going. I wanted to run down this thing, this idea of viola and this other thing that we were doing. And I was so, this is Kale. He was like, I'm so mad that we didn't get to do that. And check out Songs for Jarella, the live stuff, if you want to see.
That's Lou Reed and John Cale doing songs for Andy Warhol.
So fucking good. Yeah. So fucking good. But yeah,
Matt, I'm sorry to give you scissors here, but we're at the end of the first hour of the December 3rd, 2022 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Special guest Matt Sweeney. Hold tight for hour two.
What up?
December 3rd, 2022. It's the second hour of the WAP for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
down, and everybody is turning out, and I'm alone with my thoughts. Red lights are turning me in the shadows of these LA streets. I let you know just what it cost. There's a fog upon LA. It's a rain delay. There's a fog upon LA. Thank you.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Bonnie Prince Billy and Matt Sweeney doing What Are You? Then we had Eugene Chadbourne in North Carolina with the Red Tiddlywink. Yeah, Garrett T. Capps in Nassau County with Thin It All. Tom Hall after that, Yesterday, Today, Forever. Tim Hill, Rain Delay. We had some rain here yesterday, last night.
Rain in here.
Well, but here don't a lot, so. And then finally, again, but this time it's Matt Sweeney and Bonnie Prince Billy, a little order rearrange, with Make Worry for Me. So a little Louisville connect. Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing him play this gig. He's like wearing cutoffs and Zoris and shit. He's a tripper. I dig him big time.
Oh, yeah.
So getting back to the story, what happens with Spherinx?
So Spherinx, we play a couple of shows. We play our drummer's bar mitzvah. We play the high school. I don't start a band with Matt Quigley because he tried to learn Black Angel's Death Song from my guitar teacher, so nothing happens with that. Spherinx just kind of we go our separate ways because we were in junior high and then we all went to different high schools. So that was the end of Spherinx. And also probably at around the end of eighth grade is when I saw my first copy of Thrasher magazine. And then
you get involved with the movement.
Everything changes, and I read the Puss Zone, and I read all these bands, and all of a sudden I meet this guy Frank Longo, and he knows about hardcore and punk rock.
And you're contaminated, yes.
Oh yeah, and yeah, it's complete and total, you know. And
so what? You make a punk band?
It took a minute. It's funny. It's not until my senior year that I have a band.
Okay.
And by that point, we were pretty fully formed. We were like a post-SST band.
Wow, but, okay. What were you called?
That band was called Skunk.
Okay.
And
who was in Skunk?
Matt Quigley, the guy who...
The guy who you just left. Okay.
That's how we started the band. It was like, hey, you know, I want to learn how to play Black Angel's Death Song, so my teacher fired me, and now I'm back, and I'm friends with Greg Ginn. Let's do a band. Let's get signed to SST Records, says Matt Quigley. So we started a band. I started a band with Steve Apicella, who is my childhood best friend and an unbelievable musical talent who went on to do visual art. And then Matt Coleman, now known as Claude Coleman, who's the drummer of Ween, that was my high school band. And so
what was the first Skunk gig like?
We opened up for Sonic Youth.
That's a good first gig.
It was pretty fun. Yeah, that was an early gig. The first actual, you know, we weren't calling ourselves Skunk for the first little while. We were called Mighty Joe Young.
Whoa.
And then we had to change our name.
That was the name of the kind of a King Kong competition movie, right?
That's right, yeah. It's kind of better than King Kong,
yeah.
I would say. And then we found out that another band was called that. Actually, it turned out that band was Stone Temple Pilots. They were also called...
Oh, I know them. Yeah, last Firehose tour was with those guys and Butthole Surfers.
Firehose and Stone Temple Pilots? What a weird band.
And Butthole Surfers.
What? Oh, okay, that's more.
That was a trippy tour. It was like in '93 or something.
But bumping around a little bit, we're just kind of talking about high school in general and the post, you know, you grow up on the rock and roll, or you know, on the rock, the radio rock, and then the progressive rock, and then you get the Thrasher magazine, and weirdly, Butthole Surfers PCP EP somehow got into my hands really early on, like whenever it came out. You know?
We played, Minutemen played the first Hollywood Butthole Surfer gig with Big Boys. Gibby comes out with this, like a gallon jar of Vaseline. He says, we're going to have a party tonight. They didn't have Teresa yet and King. They had we lost Teresa.
Jeez, I know.
Very
such
sad.
A fucking
they had a drummer, I can't remember his name, but the bass player they called Quinn.
Quinn
the Eskimo, yeah. But Paul, you sing half the tunes and stuff. So you can't remember the first Skunk gig or Mighty Joe Young gig.
I'm pretty sure that we played at a high school dance last minute.
Any violence threatened with the vice president?
No, really not. Because already, even by that point, we sounded more like a metal band.
You gave me this project called Endless Boogie. You know, I think that's the name of a fucking Canned Heat song that's a whole side of a record.
It's a John Lee Hooker album.
That too. Well, Hooker, you know, they were big on it.
Yeah, totally.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
When will the awkward years be done? Don't be turning into debonair. Letting go of ancient history. Learn at the foot of the stairs. Captivated by poetry. Drifting along in a daydream. When will the awkward years be done? Can't we all just roll down a hill? The garden it breathes. Dogs are to sneeze. Are you buck-toothed? Are you not me? I think I'm gonna call up Jeff and giggle at her stupid riffs. There are things you can never get over, but you can't live at that depth.
it's always there. The evil face twists my mind, brings me to despair. Six, 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 the number of beasts, hell and fire, the spawn to be.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk, I'm getting enlightened here to the blues and the owl voice.
He
was beautiful. I think a Boston guy too, but man, he was deep into the shit.
He was a deep scholar, which
goes to show you what Sly Stone said. It's not where you're from, it's where you're at. That chunk of music started off with Endless Boogie, style of Jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan Jones and the Squids out of Kansas City, Missouri. When will the awkward years be done? Gollum's a Red Planet. This is Harvey out of Akron, Ohio with Moed. Ray Shin. He used to have a band called Waitresses, right?
Oh, man. Amazing.
Ray Shin with the Watchers. Larry Bose, Become Myself Again. And finally, Zwan, Number of the Beast. Look, we didn't talk about these two tunes with Bonnie Prince Billy. What's this about?
Well, I do made a couple of records with Will Oldham, a.k.a. Bonnie Prince Billy. That one is called Super Wolf and one is called Super Wolves. So we kind of refer to the thing that we do as Super Wolf or Super Wolves. And it's a thing where Will writes the lyrics and he sends them to me via email, and then I make up songs with those lyrics.
Did you ever see that movie he was in where they go camping?
So good. So good. Goddamn it, what is that called?
I can't remember the title, but it's a different thing, especially the way it ends. It's like, fuck it.
So bleak. I'm just saying, being a weirdo, like, walking the streets. He's incredible.
Back to Skunk. How does Skunk end up?
Skunk ends up signing to Twin Tone.
Minneapolis.
Yes, weirdly. And because by the time that we sort of crystallized the sound, we did have a very Minneapolis-y sort of sound.
Were you guys touring?
No, we did. We ended up, so Twin Tone puts out the record. We toured, we did the we did the full van tour. We played, I'm trying to think, bands that we opened for were De Kreutzen, L7.
You mean the Larissa one or the one out here?
Oh, God, I wish the Larissa one.
I got to play, because that was before Laughing Hyenas with John, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge, Larissa Strickland, I got to see her a lot with Laughing Hyenas. She's one of the greatest to ever fucking do it.
Was that your first touring was with Skunk?
Yeah, man. I gotta tell you,
I'm working on the mind reading, but until then we gotta use some words.
Which words?
Any words to help me with the timeline, because I can't reach inside your head and find out what it was. That's why I'm asking you.
I see that you're going. Okay, so first tour, I'm like 20 years old. We must have toured in like 1990 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. By that point, I'd seen a shit ton of bands. Me and Quigley and those guys, we used to see Firehose all the time. Minutemen, I missed every fucking time because it was a school night. Every time. I'm so pissed. I was just looking at some gig in 85 that y'all played at Irving Plaza. I remember when the gig happened.
That's at the end.
Yeah. And I
think that was Co-Conspirators tour, is the fall of 85. Because tour actually is like Tertiary Markets, I think they call it, with REM. But the last full-on Minuteman tour, that one you could have saw. And he had, that earlier that day, bought a Red Knob Fender Twin amp, because the one in the shoot, he had a Super Twin, right? The fucking loud-ass things. And it got a bad ground and melted the strings to the mic stand. I said, you ain't playing this anymore. So he bought that at Manny's. You know, that whole 48th Street thing is gone now.
Totally gone, dude. As you can imagine, it was, FAO Short. It was dreamland for me, as a kid.
We buy guitars. I remember seeing Paul Stanley through the window, and I couldn't say anything. I pointed at him and I mouthed at him, "Is that you?" And he mouthed back at me, "Yeah, it's me."
There's actually a Kiss song called, there is a Kiss song called "Is That You?" So
is that right? I could tell because he had the rose on his fucking shoulder. Yeah, shoulder. A tattoo. So, okay. So you guys do some tours, you get on a Twin Tone label.
It's 1990, we're on the Twin Tone label, and we weren't, our band had our strengths and weaknesses, but it was kind of a mess. It was like one of those first bands, but all of our songs had a million parts, everybody wrote songs. Lots and lots of parts, really dense, really fucking dense. And
heralding back to your Rush formation.
It was just a fucking mess. We were also hanging out, you guys, at like Firehose gigs. I was at the City Gardens gig with Andrew Weiss. Because Andrew
Trent,
Weiss,
the bass man.
And Andrew produced us in Ween. So Andrew had these two high school bands.
Band called, with a sim called Scornflakes.
Yeah, Scornflakes.
And before that, they were called Turds with Corn in Them.
Ooh.
Look, I'm going to play this.
And then Regressive Aid. Shout out to Regressive Aid, which was Andrew and Sim's other band. They were amazing.
Oh, is it? Is it? Look, I can't play anything because we're at the end of the second hour, December 3rd, 2022 edition of Wop Peterson's special guest, Matt Sweeney. Hold tight, Power 3! December 3rd, 2022 is the third hour of the Wop for Peter O Show.
Hey!
We're talking off air about how one cat influences another cat. John Coltrane talks about that. It's trippy because you get influenced by a dude that you might not even know who he's influenced by, and then in turn you're influenced by that kind of invisible, we ain't saying puppet strings, but it's just trippy. We started the third hour off with Matt Sweeney and Iggy Pop doing trippy version. I dig this version of the Velvet Underground European Sun.
Thank you, Mike.
Right, right. Springtime after that, which is Cyproj, Australia. Maybe it's got one of the Tropical Fuckstorm people, but I know
Jim White.
That's what I was going to say. On drums, for sure, it's Jim White. He's got the hairiest back in the racket, and he's a beautiful drummer, man.
And the hairiest style.
Yeah, he's just beautiful. I love when he's got the tambourine on the snare drum, and he's just, this is Names of the Plague. And then Crane after that, The Time Has Come. Lum and the Texas Homewreckers. I think Fukuoka. Japan, sitting here miles apart, and then finally Mike Molnar, the Good Timers. So tell me how this version of the European Sun came up around.
Well, so my buddy Josh Homme did a record with Iggy and went
Queen of Stone Age, people.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm really old close friends with Josh, and he played me. He's like, look what I did. And he played me a couple of songs. He was just working on them. And I think he was, like, mixing them. And I just, actually, my girlfriend, JR, was like, just said, you have to play in this band. You have to, whatever this is, you have to get in on this. So I kind of, I just bugged Josh. I said, if you ever do anything with this record, if you end up touring this record, I won't be your friend anymore unless you let me in the band. Or something to that effect. So I got the gig that way.
I saw you play with them at the Hollywood Bowl. Ig asked me, no, it was the Greek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only weird show of the tour. I remember we had some sound issues.
I thought it sounded really good. You guys opened with Sister Midnight. No Stooges. It was all like idiots.
I was only, zero Stooges. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I thought that was balls out. I dug it. I dug it a lot. And you worked the bass really well, man. I thought you did really well. And Josh also. In fact, Josh put together a great band for him. So this came out of that. Okay, can we go back again? Can we go back again? Because I know we got to Skunk, but when I first heard of you was a band called Chavez. How did that happen?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's, you know, kind of that and Super Wolf are kind of the two things I sort of think are, like, are the two things that I hang my hat on, I suppose, as far as, like, if you want to know what the kind of shit I do, the loud stuff is, like, Chavez, and the prettier stuff, I suppose, or the quieter stuff is the Super Wolf stuff. But Chavez was a band. So Skunk breaks up. I'm totally miserable. I don't know what I'm going to fucking do with my life. I figure that I'm a total failure. I'm, like, living at home. I dropped out of college. I got no band. I got shit. And a guy named Dave Reed asked me. He had heard that I played bass, which wasn't really true, but whatever. And he's like, and he invited me to play in a band with James Lowe.
You didn't have that red PV bass anymore.
I know. I don't know where the fuck that thing is. God damn it. I'd love to have that. But anyway, he goes,
you don't use it, you lose it. So you like kind of lost stability.
So he's like, hey, I'm doing a band with a guy from Live Skull. And I was a fan of Live Skull. I was like, oh, cool. So,
oh, yeah, I remember. They were a four piece and then they got Talia to sing it, right?
Mm hmm. Exactly. So James Lowe.
Tom Payne,
Mark C.
God, my memory, my memory.
Yeah, really impressive.
So you guys put together Chavez out of that?
Well, so Chavez, I'm still like a kid, but I'm like a big fan. And all of a sudden I'm in New York City and I get to try doing a band with a guy from Live Skulls. You know, I was just like asked, do you want to join this band? And the guy had already written the songs. I was like, okay, cool. So I meet James Lowe, and all of a sudden I'm playing bass with the god of no wave drums, as far as I'm concerned, James Lowe, of Live Skull and Swans, et cetera. And so that band was called Wider, and that band played for a little while. Matador was really interested in the band, and for various reasons, the band split up. But I ended up starting a band with James Lowe, and that was and Clay Tarver, who is my best friend, who I started the band Chavez with. So me and Clay had been talking about doing a band, and I was doing this other, I was doing this noisy band with the Live Skull dude, and then I basically convinced the Live Skull guy to try playing with me and Clay, and we were so blown away that he thought that we were cool enough to play with that's basically how Chavez started.
What was the first Chavez gig like?
Man, I was so fucking nervous. That was like, you know, so that's the thing. Like, you do a bunch of bands, you do a bunch of things, and then finally, like, you kind of come to this is my story, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't lucky enough to crack the code the first time around like you did, you know?
Hey, look, so, there's still, gigs are still pants shitters for me, man.
Yeah, it's true. So that gig, god damn it, it was, just probably CBGB's. Had to be CBGB's.
Was a success?
It fucking was.
Ah, great,
does.
Great.
Yeah. Like,
now, but the band don't last long.
Well, the band lasts, but we can't. It's a weird time, you know. It's like, because I have a day job. Everybody's got day jobs, and it's like 90. I think our first record comes out in 95. Second record comes out in 96. Probably by 98, we weren't doing it. Yeah, I guess we only did it for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the next thing I heard of you was U.S. Maple.
I didn't do that. I just look like the guy in U.S. Maple.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
fucking
totally.
Stupid
totally. Yeah,
watch.
No, really,
oh, my God. Oh, no, my God. I'm so embarrassed. No, look, we got to play some Headbox.
Scott, you can come with me. Don't get your hopes up too high, because it's a dirty life.
$50,000 worth of friends. And believe it or not, I don't have one lousy stinking job. Thank you. my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, as I lay sleeping, I dreamt a light into the heart. When I awoke, I was mistaken. Ah, but the curtains were still blown apart. My mama once told me what a soul should know. It's about the devil, and I hate him so. He'll be crying if we don't frown and keep on smiling. He'll stop hanging around. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You never know how much I love you.
There we go. Too bad they didn't see the DNA gig.
Oh, right.
Anyway, people, last music for this edition, we start off with Head Boggle doing Reverie, then Baham Boy with Van Cleef Cub, John Bender with 1612-220342. Maybe something to do with a date. And then finally, Matt Sweeney on guitar, Yousef, with Yousef,
yeah,
doing You Are My Sunshine.
Yes.
Beautiful singer, man. Jesus Christ. How did that happen?
That was okay. So I ended up, so Chavez stops. Also, I want to say that the Chavez song that we played, Unreal Is Here Now, the vocal line is stolen from Straight Jacket, the Minutemen's, from your bass line. I actually stole the melody.
Punchline. Twirler pentatonic thing.
For some reason, the that's one of my favorite little music pieces.
A little pirouette, right? A little dance.
It's part of my DNA, and I remember when I was trying to come up with a vocal line for that song, I was sitting there with the guitar, I started playing that line, and I was like, okay, wait, I'm gonna morph this into a vocal line. So thanks for that.
You're very welcome. I probably borrowed it from James Jamerson or something.
Oh my God, the grace. But anyway, so what happens, I ended up after all the shit, I made a record called Superwolf, and Rick Rubin heard it, and he really loved it, and he started asking me to play on records. And
he was a bass man for a band called Hose.
Yeah, man, I saw them play.
Tell Me Something Good, right? Cover.
They were doing a Black Sabbath. They were really flippery. They were really flippery. Yeah. But anyway, so I ended up working with Rick, and Rick was like just that was the big kind of life change thing where and also I never thought that I was that good in the studio, but all of a sudden I got asked. Actually, by the time that I made the Super Wolf record, I think that I had kind of gotten okay at music.
So Rick Rubin gave you the connect to play with Yusef.
Fucking massive, yeah. And Neil Diamond. And
what are you guys doing right now?
Let's say this.
Do you have a website people could find you on right now, or are you just part of Mersh Things?
I'm kind of a dickhead. I don't.
Okay. But people, he's all over the commercial ones and stuff. But one day there'll be a MattSweeney.com.
I should put it all together. But if you want to check out what I do, check out the last album of my music that came out was called Super Wolves.
I bet you Discogs.com has good entry on you.
Yeah. Hit Discogs and you can see the shit that I've done.
So right in this moment, right now, what are you working on, Matt?
I'm working on some songs to try to figure out what I'm going to
do. You mean like Matt Sweeney music? Not Side Mouse, but Matt Sweeney the man.
Well, yeah, like the Super Bowl stuff. Like that song, What Are You, I played actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sing, and that's one number of the beast. That's me singing. I'm just low-key about shit. But
that's what you're working on right now. Raise up the key a little bit.
Yeah, you know, so I'm working on my own stuff. I think probably my girlfriend JR will probably do. I think I want to make a record with her. I just did some really fun stuff.
Are you going to call that Super Wolf?
No. I think we really call it Ass Boys or something else.
Ass Boys. Sure.
Yeah, Ass Boys. I think would be.
I remember there was the Ass Ponies. Remember them?
I think it was some of the cats
from that Kansas band, that Lawrence band.
Were they Ohio?
My memory's so bad. But look, what I'm doing is I'm trying to invite you. When you and your girlfriend get this record done, will you guys come on the show? We could talk about the whole new proj.
I would love that. I will keep you abreast of anything that I think you need to know that I'm doing, Mike.
Because I want you back on because we ran out of fucking time. I'm so sorry.
There's a lot to talk about for sure, man. Okay. And thank you so much.
Yeah, I could fucking yammer with you for lifetime and a half.
Easily, I'd like to add that since I was a teenage fanboy, I've always been so thrilled to talk to you, and you've always been fucking cool to me. Always.
Big respect to you, man. I can't wait to hear the new album, the Ass Boys. So bring it, not until it's written, like Orson Welles said, no wine before it's time.
That's right.
It's been the December 3, 2022 edition. Walk for Pedro, so keep your powder dry.